Yet more than ever, believers in the Lord, great numbers of men and women were added to them. Thus, they even carried the sick out into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on one or another of them. A large number of people from the towns in the vicinity of Jerusalem also gathered, bringing the sick and those disturbed by unclean spirits. And they were all cured. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This is a day A reading from the book of Revelation. I, John, your brother, who share with you the distress, the kingdom, and the endurance we have in Jesus, found myself on the island called Patmos because I proclaimed God's word and gave testimony to Jesus. I was caught up in spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a voice as loud as a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see. Then I turned to see whose voice it was that spoke to me. And when I turned, I saw seven gold lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, wearing an ankle-length robe with a gold sash around his chest. When I caught sight of him, I fell down at his feet as though dead. He touched me with his right hand and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, the one who lives. Once I was dead, but now I am alive forever and ever. I hold the keys to death and the netherworld. Write down, therefore, what you have seen and what is happening and what will happen afterwards. The word of the Lord. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained. Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe. Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, have you come to believe because you have seen me?
Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. There was a famous artist named William Hunt that was really known for his many artwork of religious art. He painted a famous painting that we all, I'm sure, have seen in one time or another, but maybe just have not connected it to the artist. It's a painting of Jesus standing outside a front door of a little house. And our Lord is knocking on that front door. It's based on the popular scripture verse from the book of Revelation. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears me and opens the door, then I will have supper with him and he with me. If you recall seeing this painting, you would notice, probably looking at it in detail, that there is something missing in that painting regarding the door, because there is no handle on the outside of the door. But it was no ordinary door, which is why the door had no handle on the outside. The famous artist was asked this at the unveiling, and he said, "Of course there's no handle on the outside of that door, because it can only be opened from the inside. Because the door that our Lord is knocking on is the door of your heart. Every day, every hour, every moment of your life, our Lord Jesus is calling you to give him, to surrender to him freely, willingly, and totally that which he has already given of you and for you. The love of an undivided heart. What does it mean to love God with an undivided heart? It means to live with the spirit of detachment, not allowing our hearts to become fixed upon material goods, upon created things, being detached from all the pride of life, from all vices of lust, greed. It means that everything that we enjoy in life, we enjoy in God. Even football. I always thought, I love football, and if I love football, then God must love football as well. But it does mean that if we're asked to give that up, to give those things that we enjoy up in life, because something else is a deeper calling from God, then we're willing to give those things up. It means that everyone that we love in God. And if we're forced to make a choice, or if some unforeseen thing happens, are we willing to give those people up? We experience that all the time with death. It means being free from all willful attachment to sin. And not just mortal sin, it says all sin. Right. One of the conditions that we know that sin can never be taken lightly, because even venial sin can lead to mortal sin. One of the conditions in receiving a plenary indulgence that you have that opportunity to receive today is to be free from all willful attachment to sin. God wants our hearts. And are we willing to give that, to give our heart over to Him? Mother Teresa had been visited by so many people, and a faithful Catholic, a gentleman, went to India and visited her and asked her, or made this statement to her. He said, "Mother," he said, "I wish that I had this special vocation to work with people who are destitute like you have." Mother Teresa looked up at him and said, "Excuse me, sir, I do not have a vocation to work with the destitute." And he surprised and looked at her, questioning why. And she said, "That is what I do. That is not my vocation. My vocation is the same as yours. My vocation, and it's everyone's first vocation in life, our vocation is the undivided love for God. The very reason, the very purpose for which we have been given life on earth, we've been created for heaven. That's what it's all about. This Divine Mercy Sunday, let's ask ourselves, have I truly met Jesus one-on-one? Just me and Jesus alone? Do I really know the love of Jesus for me? Never give up. Never give up this everyday intimate contact with Jesus. He's a real living person, fully God and fully man. He's not just an idea. So to that question, who is Jesus for you? Is he the word to be spoken? Is he the very life that you want to live? Is he the very love that you want to love? Is he the bread of life for you to be eaten? It's important to keep in mind that this devotion, the devotion we have to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the devotion we have to our Lord in the Eucharist, truly present in the Holy Eucharist, and the devotion we have to the divine mercy of Jesus, all three forms of that same devotion. There are three forms to that same devotion because they all center upon the sacred humanity of Christ. Yes, it's important to make this distinction. Yes, we know that God is present everywhere, that God is omnipotent. There's no place that we could be in the heavens or on this earth where God is not. But in the Holy Eucharist, Jesus Christ, the eternal Word made flesh, true God and true man, is uniquely present, is sacramentally present, He is substantially present, body, blood, soul, and divinity. That is something that we don't have a choice. That is something that we have to embrace. We should embrace that. Lord, increase my unbelief. That the Lord is not just present in his divinity for us. He is present in his divinity and his humanity. The sacred humanity of Jesus Christ. And I love the image of the divine mercy. Monsignor Blassett would always say, everyone notices in that image his right hand in blessing. Everyone notices in that image the red and white rays pouring out of his heart, the blood and the water, signifying baptism and the Holy Eucharist. How many of us truly know and recognize the left foot that's coming forward? Coming forward to you and to me. Coming forward to knock on that door of our heart. And are we going to open it? What a great privilege we have been given the turn of this last couple decades, the opportunity of this second Sunday of Easter to be Divine Mercy Sunday. I encourage you to please stay with us after that final hymn. Don't leave so early. We have breakfast over here. You don't have to leave too early for that. You just have to walk down the hall. Don't leave too early. Stay and pray that Divine Mercy chaplet with us today. Have that opportunity to receive that plenary indulgence. Yes, it's the sacred humanity of Christ that is the bridge for us between heaven and earth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please stand now as we profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead
and the life of the world to come.
Amen. Unlike Thomas, we are those who have not seen, and yet we believe. Because we believe in Jesus, who rose in our flesh to glory, we pray for others with trust in God who listens.
For the church, experiencing the distress and the endurance we have in Jesus, that we may also share in his victory as the risen and glorified Lord, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That this Divine Mercy Sunday may change the hearts and minds of people filled with hatred and conflict, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That those who doubt may find faith in the one who was dead and now lives forever, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That we may worship Jesus in the Eucharist with the words of St. Thomas, my Lord and my God. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the sick and the distressed in mind or spirit, that the healing that flowed out from the apostles in Jesus' name may rejoice and strengthen them today. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
We pray in a special way for all the children in the wombs of their mothers, and especially for all of those children that we spiritually adopted. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all who have died in friendship with the risen Lord, and for the intention of this Mass, the Quinlan family. May God, in His mercy, hear the cries of His faithful and answer our prayers according to His most holy will. We pray to the Lord.
Heavenly Father, all merciful God, in His body your Son rose to new life. Accept the prayers we offer you in His name, for He is the first and the last, forever. And He lives and reigns with you forever and ever. Amen.